Welcome to Inside Education with me, Sean Delaney. You can listen to or download hundreds of previous programs on seandelaney.com/podcasts. Inside Education is your weekly feast of all matters educational here on 103.2 Dublin City FM. On last week's programme, I introduced you to the teacher who has tens of thousands of followers on her Irish Primary Teacher blog, website, Facebook pages and Instagram. It's the kind of programme I enjoy and learn a lot from, where the guest is enthusiastic and thoughtful about the practice of teaching. Not surprisingly, the programme was very well received and I'm delighted to bring you the second part of my interview with Niamh Dunphy today. Last week we talked about setting up and running one of the most popular social media sites for primary teachers in Ireland. Niamh also told us about her teaching experiences in England, and indeed one listener commented to me that Niamh's description of her experiences in different schools makes essential listening for school principals and how they can influence the culture of a school. In this second part of the interview, we covered a wide variety of topics related to teaching and learning, including what Niamh likes most and finds most challenging about teaching, differences between teaching in England and teaching in Ireland, her favourite subject to teach, and what she has learned about teaching to date. But we began by talking some more about her social media presence, and I asked Niamh if she currently had any plans to develop Irish Primary Teacher further.
To be honest, I don't. I think it's going quite well the way it's going. I don't really have any further IT skills to give it other than to kind of make it a little bit more user-friendly, and I may change the layout. I have done that maybe once before, but at the moment that's kind of a huge task that I definitely wouldn't take on during a school year. Maybe next summer, but at the moment I think it's okay the way it is.
And no, you're not on Twitter, right?
I do have a Twitter account. I don't really find it very easy to use, and you know, I think there's a lot of brilliant people on Twitter that share their ideas and share different things, but it's not the same type of community that's on Instagram and on Facebook, and I think most of my followers aren't even on Twitter either, so yeah.
That's interesting. It's kind of an age thing, I suppose, as well. And what about Snapchat?
I did have a Snapchat briefly, but again, it's kind of videos, and like, it's just a little bit boring for teachers, you know, there's only so much of your classroom that you can show, whereas Instagram, you can kind of take quick pictures, and that was much more popular. So Snapchat, no, it's not really working, I think, anymore.
And where do you get your own ideas then for your own lessons and your own teaching?
I actually love planning, so I kind of brainstorm myself initially and kind of think, okay, what are we doing? How are we going to do it? Then I usually use Google and see what comes up. I follow a lot of bloggers on Facebook and on Instagram, and I get a lot of ideas from them, so I'm constantly saving things and going, oh, I might use that, or that's a good idea. And then I think my colleagues are a fantastic group of people. I do teach in a very large school, so there's between 6 and 8 of each strand. So we have kind of weekly meetings where we kind of throw around ideas and say, oh, what are you doing in maths? And, oh, I'm doing that as well. What you know, what kind of ideas do you have about that? And then I suppose with the new SET model as well, you know, we have more in-class support. So there really is an extra teacher that knows the class really, really well. So to kind of share ideas that way has worked incredibly well, well for me anyway.
What do your colleagues think of the resource?
They're all very positive about it. They've known about it kind of as long as I've been teaching in the school. So since I came back to Ireland, I think when I initially had the blog, it was very, very small. When I started in my school, this is my fifth year there now, so it was kind of small, and then it started to get bigger, and now sometimes I see, you know, things that I've done that they're using, or sometimes they don't even realize that, you know, oh, that's actually from the blog, or that's something that I've used myself. But most of the time, like, most of them follow me on Instagram and Facebook as well, so, and a lot of them are very kind to let me go in and photograph their classrooms, and I know there's plenty more that I haven't gotten to yet, but but don't worry, I'll be there.
And you've mentioned already about, you know, initially being delighted to see 100 views. How did the growth happen? Say, if you look back over the last 4 years, how did, and you're now on like 20,000 followers, how did it get to that level? You know, when did it, or at what pace did it change?
It has been a very slow process. It hasn't happened overnight. I think with Facebook, that was a bit easier to grow, like the first 100, 200, 300, and then it was at 1,000, and then suddenly it was at 5, and it kind of got gradually bigger. Now that it's kind of at the, I think it's around 22, 23,000, it's kind of after kind of reaching its peak, and it's not really going any further, anyway fast, which is perfectly fine. Instagram, I kind of really kind of targeted that this year. So that has grown, you know, quite quickly over the last couple of months. So I'm hoping to reach 10,000 by Christmas. So that's kind of, I kind of set myself little goals, little aims of, you know, however many extra views on the blog and things like that. And then I just keep kind of posting things. And when people like it, they kind of come back for more. So that's how it continues to grow.
And you also have a store section on the website. How did that come about?
I was using Google Drive when I had Blogspot, and it was just very awkward to keep uploading to that. And it often the website would crash because there were so many people trying to download things from it. So then I set up the store part of it so that people could download the items directly from the website. I also wanted people to stay on my website rather than going on off to Google and probably not coming back, whereas when they're kind of on the website, they stay on it. Most of the things in the store are actually free, and then there's just a few that things that I've spent hours, weeks, months even working on, then there's a charge for those.
And you also have a review section.
I do, yeah. So that kind of came about because a few companies asked me to try out products and feature them on the blog. So it kind of started with Irish companies and kind of has continued to grow. So like it started out with, say, Primed Publishing were sending me a couple of different items, and then, you know, my followers were really excited about those items, so that kind of continued. And you know, I've kind of built up kind of collaborations with different companies. Like all the reviews are done free of charge, but I get new resources, which is great for me and great for the kids in my class. At the moment, I got a new resource from Primed, and I have another one from ABC School Supplies. And I think there's about three or four other companies that are in the process of organising something. As well as that, then some companies offer to do giveaways with my followers, which are usually very popular as well.
But you always say that you write honest reviews regardless of who gives you the what materials.
Absolutely. I think that's so important. Actually, to be perfectly honest, I don't review things I don't like. You know, and there's plenty of things that I've bought myself that I also would write a review on. But if I get a product that I think, absolutely not, I wouldn't pay money for it, then I won't talk about it. Or, you know, I just don't waste anybody's time by writing it or people's time reading it either. Now, I would often say on the reviews, you know, I really like the product, but I would also like if it had X, Y, or Z extra. But obviously, that's not always possible for companies, so it just depends on what they can do.
And you also have a section on fashion and teaching. What kind of clothes do you feel most comfortable in for teaching?
I would be kind of a dress and leggings type of person, just as comfortable as possible. It was actually a lot of people were asking me to do kind of posts like this. Fashion and me are not things that go together. Like, you know, I really, there's plenty of people way more fashionable than me. But it was just to kind of give people a few ideas of what is practical and also what's kind of acceptable. That if, you know, there is a last minute meeting, that you are dressed appropriately, that you're comfortable enough, that you know, if you're meeting a parent or you end up having a meeting with the principal or somebody, that, you know, you feel okay in what you're wearing. And I think kind of when we were on teaching practice, I remember we used to have our black pants and our white shirts, and like I don't really think that's as practical as, you know, clothes that we kind of wear on an everyday basis. So just to kind of be comfortable and to be a bit fashionable, and the kids love it as well. To look what she's wearing, especially the girls, and just to kind of they really do like to be kind of watching what you're wearing and and things like that.
What do you like most about teaching?
I think the children. I think they're just fantastic. You know, it's just every day is so different, and there's so many different things that can happen during the day. You know, it's just fun. You never know what's going to happen, and the enthusiasm and the energy that you have in a classroom is just, it's just amazing. I absolutely love it. I think as well, particularly like the light bulb moment when a child in your class kind of gets something that you've been going on about forever and you never think they're going to get it, and suddenly, you know, it clicks and, you know, you can see the absolute joy on their face and you're absolutely chuffed as well. I know today in my own class there was one child explaining long multiplication to another and I literally had to turn away because I was nearly going to cry because it was just such a brilliant moment.
And what do you find most challenging about teaching?
Switching off for me personally. I think with the blog, because it is a teaching blog, I do find it very difficult to switch off and to kind of stop thinking about teaching. Like yesterday evening I went out for dinner and I was down a corridor on the way to the bathroom and there was this kind of trolley and I thought that would be so handy for station teaching. You know, like it's just this constant kind of, oh, that would be, oh, that could work. I could use that for this. Oh, I wonder. And like, it's just a matter of going, no, stop it. You know, you are not in teacher mode now. Go away, leave it go and forget about it. And I think it can be, especially September, I find myself that it can be extremely overwhelming. That there's just so many new things that you kind of forget that, you know, you have to set up groups, you have to set up how the SET teacher, how they're going to work in the classroom, is there going to be station teaching, which children need support, and you have to get to know the children themselves, then some parents that you need to meet, and then there's can be behaviour management issues. It just kind of is never ending in September, and then planning, of course, as well. But I think, you know, it kind of, I know myself, I've kind of started doing, you know, going to the gym, or I started a Zumba class on Monday, and that was a complete switch off for me. So I know personally I need to just have a cut-off point. Don't be on my phone after a certain time, because I, you know, Instagram can constantly be, you know, buzzing in my pocket and somebody has a question and I have to get back to them straight away. Whereas I need to just learn to switch off a bit more.
And what differences do you find between teaching in England and teaching in Ireland?
I think mostly that the support systems in Ireland are much, much better. They're like, while in England there kind of is structured support, there was never kind of an atmosphere that you could kind of pop into someone else's classroom at the end of the day, or, you know, the staff room. Like, I was absolutely horrified in England that people just didn't go to the staff room. Like, lunchtimes were spent in your classroom marking, putting up displays, organising resources. They weren't spent, you know, having your lunch. And there was many days that I didn't have lunch and colleagues of mine didn't have lunch. And, you know, that's just not conducive to, you know, getting on well, and even for the children, because by the time they come back in from the yard, they're exhausted and you're exhausted and you just can't even face teaching because you haven't, you know, had a breather for a couple of minutes. I think there's a huge amount of pressure in England with planning that, unfortunately, is starting to creep in here, and it's quite terrifying. And I really hope it doesn't get to the same extreme lengths, because really there isn't really a need for it. Like, obviously there's a need for plans, but people work in different ways, and kind of the set structures of all this superfluous paper is just, there's just no need for it. You know, I think most people have a way of that they're going to their planning, and you know, what works for one teacher may not work for somebody else. Personally, as I said, I'm very concise, to the point. I like my plans to be like that. I don't like any fluff in them. But then if we get an inspection, that mightn't be accepted. So that's kind of difficult. But other than that, I think, you know, I suppose the children are the same. There are kind of more opportunities for teachers in England in terms of progressing in their careers. You know, there's opportunities to kind of get maybe an assistant position or become a year head or eventually become head teacher, whereas in Ireland those opportunities don't exist to the same extent, I don't think.
And what's your favourite subject to teach?
Maths. I love it. I'm absolutely mad about it. I you know, the kids don't always enjoy it, but I really love it. I think it's kind of a fascinating subject, and I remember my first class that I had for my dip, they really hated maths. They were absolutely terrified of maths. If I mentioned maths, there was tears every single day. So I kind of made it my mission that by the end of the year, maths wasn't going to be this terrifying subject. And, you know, all of those children did so well in maths and really excelled because the fear of maths was kind of gone. And then I suppose in my current class with maths, I just kind of use the whiteboards, use different kind of activities, try as much practical, concrete things that I can, and just kind of add a bit of humour into it. You know, like this support teacher that I had last year, when she'd come in for maths, she would say, okay, we'll set up, you know, little surgeries. So if you're finding something difficult, you know, pop down and you know, we'll help you. Like, and that kind of changed the perception of, oh, I'm getting it wrong, I don't really know what I'm doing here, but I can't ask for help because I'll be wrong, you know. And I think breaking things down as well really helps kids to, okay, well, actually, I was able to do the first part. Okay, I don't get this part, but this is the only part I don't get. And that really helps them as well.
And from your career to date, what lessons have you learned about teaching?
I think one of the main lessons I've learned is that most of, like, how I'm feeling and how I behave has a really big effect on the children and has a really big effect on how things are in the classroom. Like, I know that if I'm having a bad day, like, it's very hard to kind of switch that off when you're in the classroom, and your reactions to things can be a little bit different, and then the children kind of do pick up on it. You know, they're very aware of everything that's going on. And I think as well as that it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to do silly things and not be sure of things and to ask for help when you need it. And I think the most important thing as well is that it's okay to go up and make an absolute fool of yourself in front of them. And they're the days that they remember and they're the days that they love. And to sometimes forget about the plans and forget about these wonderful lessons, ideas that you have, and just go with whatever it is that they're doing and that they're really enjoying. And sometimes if that involves Fortnite, you know, you just have to go there.
Yeah, so true. Sometimes it's so important to do that. We're coming near the end, Niamh, so I have a few general questions, if that's okay, just to finish up with. First of all, what is school for, or what are schools for, in your view?
I think schools are for kind of providing a basic level of literacy and numeracy for children in a fairly equal way, so that everybody kind of leaves with the basics. Now, we don't always achieve that, but I think by having schools, you know, children from all different communities can go to school and learn, you know, basic literacy and numeracy skills, which they're going to need for their lives. I think as well as that, it's for socialisation. I think that's so important. And just to kind of learn life skills and how to get on with people and, you know, what to do when, you know, you're finding something difficult, or how to line up and how to be fair and how to wait your turn. All those different skills that, you know, children can't learn at home because there's not a group of them, and they can't really learn anywhere else either. And I think then it's a case of exploring different things and learning about and getting different perspectives on things, because your parents can only teach you so much, and what they might, you know, their life experience may be different to the experience of the teacher in your school, or you know, if you do have different teachers every year, you know, everybody can kind of give you different ideas, and then of course you learn from one another and the children learn from one another too.
Was there a teacher who had a significant impact on you growing up?
No one really springs to mind other than my primary school principal, who I then ended up working. She was the principal when I was working in the school. I still remember our confirmation. It was on in April. I can't even remember the year now at this stage, but she came on the intercom one day and said, you know, the confirmation is cancelled because the priest has the bishop has been double booked. And the absolute terror in the classroom and the panic and the madness. And, you know, then she came on about 5 or 6 minutes later and went, what are you messing? You know, and it was just that humour. Like, she was very, very strict. She was really on the ball, but incredibly fair. And that sense of humour that, you know, anytime I think of her, that's what I remember. And I know when I worked there myself, you know, she gave us all a wooden plaque that said, children don't remember what you say or what you even teach them, but they always remember how you make them feel. And that's something that I always kind of try and use in my own teaching, and, you know, sometimes have to stop myself and go, no, that, you know, you have to calm down, and, you know, yeah, okay, they're after doing something that's really off the wall, but, you know, stay calm and react appropriately, because, you know, this can have a huge effect on the child.
Who or what inspires you?
I think my colleagues, my fellow bloggers, other teachers around the world, and the children themselves. You know, a lot of what I'm doing can be kind of things that come up on the spot, or, you know, if I ask a question and a child might have an interesting response, then that kind of leads what we're doing. But there's not a particular person that I would say is an inspiration. I think everybody kind of around me, and I just take anything that I can get, really, and use that.
And have you a favourite writer, book or blog about education other than your own?
To be honest, I don't. I never really read a huge amount of blogs or books or anything really to do with education. I like Instagram and Facebook because it's very easy. There's not reams of paper to get through, or it's not a long, you know, difficult kind of thing to do. It's just quick look and, oh yeah, I like that, and that work, that might work in my room, and that's kind of what works for me.
If you could make one change to your current school and resources were not an issue, what change would you make?
I think ICT is an area that we need a bit of improvement in. That would definitely be something that I would love. Now, we were lucky enough to kind of get a set of laptops last year, but if we had a set of iPads or something like that, I think that would be great. Other than that, I really love the school that I'm teaching in, and like, I've never met a group of colleagues like I have, and I'm really, really very lucky, and we work really, really well together as well, so I'm very happy there. But other than the ICT, that would be about it.
And if you got a set of iPads, how would you use them?
I think you, maybe for project work in the classroom, there's great kind of assessment tools that you can use, like Kahoot and things like that. I've done loads of summer courses with all these wonderful ideas, and then you can't use them. It's a bit annoying. Like, I love Scratch, for example. I'd love to bring that into the classroom. I remember when I was in the UK, we had kind of, what do you call them, stop motion, you know, with the webcams, and you record things. Like, that was a brilliant way to get children to kind of make their own little videos, and I think that would be fantastic for literacy in any classroom as well.
And how well did your own teacher education course prepare you for your life as a teacher?
I think it taught me the basics. It taught me what I'm meant to do, the curriculum, the objectives and things like that. I think the only thing that actually teaches you about teaching is teaching. So, you know, unless you're actually out in the classroom and working with real life children, you know, we did micro teaching, and even thinking back on it, like, okay, it was good to kind of learn how to stand up in front of people and try and teach them. But, you know, really, I think it was the teaching practice and learning from fellow teachers that was most beneficial. And I think during my nearly qualified teacher year, I had a mentor in the school I was teaching in, and that was an absolute godsend. So that's why I decided when maybe 4 years ago that I'd like to train as a mentor myself, which I did, and now I'm a member of the professional sport team in my school for Drigheid. And it's just kind of for NQTs just to have somebody they can go to and somebody they can ask that silly question that, you know, that isn't actually not really silly. Like, I still remember some of the questions I went and asked my mentor, and like, now they wouldn't even think about them twice now. I just know what to do. But you don't really have that knowledge, or you're constantly kind of second guessing yourself when you start your career as a teacher.
And finally, what from your own primary or secondary education informs your practice in education today?
I think, you know, I had some fantastic teachers in primary school and in secondary school. And I think for primary school, like, I remember myself, I really enjoyed the practical lessons. I also enjoyed the kind of drills, especially for like Irish verbs or tables or things like that. And kind of, I still remember, you know, teachers sitting down and having a chat about different things or, you know, sharing a little bit about themselves. And that was fascinating to me. And I know myself, in my own classroom, when I do tell them a little bit about, you know, especially in SPAG lessons, about something that may have happened in my own life, that they're the things that stick with them. And they're the things that help the children to actually understand. And, you know, they're really get it when you kind of, you know, share a little bit about you and how you were feeling in certain situations.
And the usefulness of teachers sharing their own life experiences with students was expressed by Niamh Dunphy, better known to teachers all around Ireland and further afield as Irish Primary Teacher. You can find out more about Niamh's resources for teachers at irishprimaryteacher.ie. Thanks to Niamh for her time in recording the interview. And that's it for this week's Inside Education. You can listen back to this programme or hundreds of others on seandelaney.com/podcasts. My book about teaching, Become the Primary Teacher Everyone Wants to Have, is available from the main online bookstores or directly from Routledge. Until the same time next week, that's it from me, Sean Delaney. Thank you for listening.